Species Interaction, Part 8. Not getting up early felt odd to Jensen. After so many mornings where he had to force himself out of bed so that he could stumble groggily to class, his body decided to betray him by waking up and refusing to let him sleep. He had stupidly thought that after that first night of getting no sleep, his body would give him a break. It would just crash and burn and give him the blissful peace of not having to think. But he received no such reprieve. Instead, it made his eyes snap open and his heart race with the familiar thrum of adrenaline that he always got when he realized that he'd slept in. It always took him a few moments to calm down and remind himself that he didn't have anywhere to be, but by then the damage was done. His body didn't want to go back to sleep, and he was stuck with the torture of being awake until he could exhaust himself back into slumber. For the first week or so, Jensen just wandered around town. He did a lot of window shopping and people watching, but always made certain he stayed far away from both the academy and his apartment. He didn't want to see anybody he knew and have them ask about why he wasn't in class. The first couple of days of that first week, he spent figuring out how he could expose the Seraphs for what they were. But as his anger cooled and settled like lead in his guts, he had to acknowledge that his word was going to be nothing against theirs. How many humans had gone through the academies? How many of them had fallen into the snare of the true nature of the programs? There had to be thousands of human students who had never found out the true purpose of the academies. To make matters worse, Jensen had to assume that the humans who had mated with a Seraph and had children with their mate knew about the so-called biological needs of their cherubs, and they clearly weren't out and about spreading the word. There wasn't a news source in the world that would take any of Jensen's claims seriously. He himself had read similar stories on the internet and scoffed at the loonies and bigots posting such utter trash. The only people that would believe him were the Separatists, and he didn't need his reputation besmirched with any association with them. Jensen had hatred towards the Seraphs, but he wasn't out to cause their destruction, and he couldn't imagine that polarizing the human world against the Seraph one would ever bring anything but trouble. After all, his own pain was caused by the secrets that the Winged Ones had kept from him and his fellow students. If the human race began to withdraw from contact with the Seraph, ignorance and prejudice would only grow. How much worse would it become if they weren't allowed to interact at all? Would wars spring up as Seraph attempted to just take what they needed, and humans fought to take them down like a hyper-evolved parasite? Would the choice of being separate from the Winged Ones eventually be taken from the humans, as the Seraph fought for their continued existence? They were fantastical thoughts, straight out of a dystopian alien invasion movie, and Jensen could well appreciate the grandeur of his imagination. That he, of all humans, would cause such an upset that it would cause genocide and war was ridiculous. And it was that thought that made him pull enough out of his funk to focus on what was left of his life. Once he managed to walk and think himself past thoughts of vengeance, Jensen was slapped in the face by reality. He couldn't make himself walk back into the academy. He'd lied to his parents about what he was doing, and come the end of the semester, he was going to end up owing his student loans again. The first solution that he thought about was calling Chris to move him back home. It was a sad and pathetic thing for a man of his age to do, but Chris owed him for a few rent checks back in the day. Jensen knew that if he begged hard enough, he could get his old internship back. It would kill his pride, but the hospital had been one of the few desperate ones around. Their reputation wasn't the best, and their finances proved it. It was, after all, why they hadn't been able to afford to fix the paging system, and why Erica had to run to fetch him that fateful day. Their major source of business was in physical therapy, and Jensen the intern was a cheap alternative to not Jensen, the fully trained and expensive therapist. The fact that he'd walked out on them without so much as a 2 weeks' notice was going to require some major groveling, but he'd already lost most of his pride. He figured that by the time that his parents realized that something was up, he'd at least have a guaranteed paycheck again, and he could figure out the rest later. But Chris was out of town when he called. He'd finally picked up some tour dates and couldn't make it back to help move his buddy for at least a couple of weeks. The prospect of more time on his hands didn't thrill Jensen, so he started to look for other job opportunities that were around his current location. While internships weren't exactly plentiful, given that most of them were picked up by graduating students, there were a few openings here and there that he could get into. The problem was that most of the openings he found only let him interview because he put down that he was a student at the academy. It wasn't exactly a lie, and he needed a reason for why he'd bailed out of his last internship. The hospital administrators were impressed with it, and Jensen swallowed down the bile that rose at their enthusiasm. He didn't blame them for their excitement. Getting into one of the Seraph programs was a very big deal, but their enthusiasm only reminded him of how he would have reacted once upon a time. For years, he had terrible fits of envy every time a classmate was accepted to even the smallest of one of the Seraph programs. He'd been obsessed with getting the Academy of Angelic Care logo on his diploma. He'd daydreamed about being that cog in the cosmic wheel of uniting their species, only to find that he was more of a literal fucking hole. Inventive lying became the name of the game in his interviews. He feigned pride about his academy classes and told a detailed story about how he'd only been accepted into their summer sessions because of a cancellation and a patient's recommendation, but how he was thrilled to just have that opportunity. He finished up with a sad face of regret about how he wasn't going to be able to get into the fall semester. Too many confirmed applicants were just going to make it impossible, even though his grades were good. But he felt that his preening and flight muscle classes were the most important ones to apply to physical therapy anyway. It was a good act. Jensen had caught sight of himself in the reflection of a window while he interviewed, and the way that he sold it almost made him think of going into acting. It was a viable enough thing to do. Going crazy and running off to California to pursue his name on the big screen would be a believable enough story. He didn't get any immediate offers, but there was enough interest in some of the administrator's eyes that Jensen knew that he'd get something, even though he had practically run out on his last position. The problem was, of course, that he would actually need good grades in order to grab his job, and not showing up for classes wouldn't get him those. Jensen couldn't make himself go back. His remaining self-worth wouldn't let him, but it would let him blackmail the institution. It was unethical, and Jensen was glad that he'd already taken his ethics tests, because otherwise he'd feel like the world's biggest hypocrite taking them. But he sent the letter directly to Ms. Supreme Ruler of the Erotic Feather Plucking class, and let her know that he expected good grades in return for his silence. He didn't hear back from her, but he couldn't do anything about it until the semester was over anyway, so he just hoped for the best. He didn't pray for the best, because there was a level that he just plain refused to sink to, and praying for his underhandedness to prosper just didn't seem like a good idea. Jensen made himself not think about Jared. If when he was awake he'd sometimes literally feel an ache deep inside himself that he just knew was related to his residual feelings towards the Seraph, he'd just tamp down all the harder on them. It never made the ache go away. In fact, sometimes it even got worse if he attempted to stifle it. It was almost as if his feelings were nothing more than petulant children who wanted to stomp their feet and get their way. Nothing would pacify them except for giving them what they wanted, and Jensen would be damned if he did that. Jared was as good as dead to him. Sure, Jensen hadn't felt heartbreak before like he did now, but he was attributing that to the additional factors of the whole mess with the Academy. He'd been blue over a lover before, and he'd live. It was just going to take a little longer this time. Jared frowned as another feather floated its way down onto his previously pristine living room floor. Its brightly hued family lay in a circle around Jared, their cheery colors mocking him. The molting hadn't started right away, and Jared thanked whoever might be listening for that small favor. He wouldn't have wanted his fellow Seraph to see his utter disgrace. His whole heart had ached to go after Jensen when he had left that small mating room, but his mind had prevailed and kept him inside. Jensen was hurt, and trying to talk to him would only exacerbate the situation. Still, Jared had sat in the room for 2 hours before sadly acknowledging to himself that his mate wasn't coming back. The coffee had leaked out and stained a good portion of the bed with its contents, leaving a cold, wet mess, so Jared had twisted the cap off and poured the rest of it out over the bedspread in an act of senseless destruction. Things like that were supposed to make a guy feel better, but all Jared felt was guilt and sadness. That was Jensen's coffee. He'd made it just that morning, the exact way that his mate liked it, because as upset as he was at Jensen's abrupt departure the night before, Jared had still wanted good things for him. Standing there, staring at the ruined bedspread, Jared's tears had come out full force. He had stood there like a fool, clutching at Jensen's coffee thermos and bawling his heart out. The word freak kept rolling around in his mind, over and over like a horrible song. It lurked in its tuneless, horrible glory, grinding away at his memory with its ugliness. Eventually, Jared had left the room. His eyes ached and he felt terrible, but he made himself leave while the hour was still at its midpoint, and he was less likely to run into anybody in the halls. The flight home was more painful than he had thought it would be. Not even a day earlier, he had been bringing his love home to their nest for their first night of mating. Now he was alone and rejected by that same man, and though his head could somewhat comprehend it, his heart would not. The blankets of his bed that first night had offered him the solace of Jensen's lingering scent. Pungent and warm and loving, it had been everything that Jared had ever wanted, and he had wrapped himself up in the comforter and sheets. Swaddled up like a baby, he had fallen asleep, and in his dreams it was almost as if Jensen was with him. The morning had not been so forgiving. Warm and aroused, he had pushed out with his hips, fully expecting to feel his mate beside him, only to find nothing but his own cotton sheets. For a moment more, his memory had stayed blissfully asleep before it came back to taunt him with the events of the previous day. He had almost called Jensen that morning. He'd almost gone to see him, even though Jensen was against the mere thought of Jared being near him. It was only remembering the look in Jensen's eye when he warned Jared away that kept him from going to his mate. As strong as Jared's desire was to soothe and comfort Jensen, such overtures would not be appreciated. Humans needed time apart sometimes. At least that was what Jared's human relationship books had told him, and he didn't exactly have anybody else to ask. He had relatives and friends who were married to humans, but they had never been rejected by their spouses. Even the stories that Jared had heard about mates rejecting their Seraph's advances were always tales about how the humans had resisted at first. Most often their resistance was a hesitancy to sleep with another species, and they always came around in the end. Jared had never heard of a mate rejecting his Seraph after their first breeding. It was shameful, and Jared feared that Jensen would be blamed if others found out. They would insinuate that something was wrong with Jared's mate instead of with Jared. It wouldn't bother him so much if those people were just associates or strangers, But there was the chance that friends and family might feel the same way, say the same things, and Jared wouldn't be able to abide by that. Jared stayed in his apartment for fear of meeting up with somebody he knew and having them see that something was wrong. He was in no mood to talk about what had happened, and his cupboards were stocked full of food that he had purchased for his and Jensen's nesting period. The one call that he did make was to the school. Once they confirmed that Jensen hadn't shown up for his classes, Jared had no reason to leave his nest. At first he was just miserable, then his body decided to up the ante. He was in the shower the first time that one of his feathers fell out. He hadn't thought much about it at the time. Sometimes even the most thoroughly preened seraph would just lose a feather. Hopefully it was never a large one, because losing a large feather in public was embarrassing. It was like having a sign pointed to you that announced you had poor personal hygiene. Since Jared was a cherub, he'd gotten lectures about checking his pinions upon landing if he'd been flying through rough winds. It just wouldn't do to have feathers pointing out the wrong way. Bad weather wasn't an excuse to not groom after landing. Only the lazy didn't put their feathers in order as soon as possible. Usually shedding a feather from a recently preened set of wings happened after flying through a strong wind or getting rained on. The forces of nature conspired to batter a guy's feathers about, and sometimes they twisted just the right way or were just soft enough and one would drop off. So when Jared's feather came off in the shower, he didn't pay much attention to it. He'd had other, more Jensen-shaped things on his mind, and it was actually more convenient that it was one of his larger feathers. If humans thought that long hair clogged their drains, Jared had always thought they should try cleaning one that was full of down feathers. The one time that his mother had made him help clean out the house's drain pipes was a day that he'd rather forget. When the second one came out, it was annoying, but he blamed it on the interrupted preening that he'd gotten. If Sam hadn't butted in, then Jensen would have finished up on his wings and done his usual impeccable work on them. But surely his mate hadn't made it all the way through before the older seraph had come by. After all, Jared had a very large and impressive wingspan. Of course, thoughts of Sam made Jared scowl, because if she had just kept her mouth shut and not dragged them out of class, there was every chance that he and Jensen would be engaging in makeup sex instead of spending time apart. But she hadn't. Even though, inside, Jared knew that there were things that he could have done better, he couldn't help but blame Sam a little for putting him in a situation where he had to reveal certain truths to Jensen so early in their partnership. If he and Jensen had been farther along in their mating, their bond would have been stronger. A stronger bond would have made it more difficult for Jensen to leave him. A stronger bond would have also meant that Jared would have felt Jensen's upset more keenly, but that was a hardship that Jared would have eagerly borne just for the fact of what it meant. Jensen was a unique human, special. All seraph felt that way about their mates, and Jared knew to some extent that he was just a love-struck fool, but he believed that he and Jensen were something greater. If Sam's question had been any indication, she had suspected it as well. In theory, all seraph had the possibility of developing extra powers, but few actually did. It was a function of their genetics, and more importantly, their bond with their mate. While all seraph were directionless as far as career goals went until they bonded with their mates, the right mate would not only bring a direction, but would trigger the powers that were possible inside a seraph. It wasn't true of all mates. Whether mating with a fellow human or another seraph, there was no way to tell if the mating would cause a power to emerge until it was completed. While it confounded the scientists that they couldn't pinpoint the biological and psychological factors, Jared had always felt a small amount of comfort in the knowledge. He'd known a few of his kinsfolk who would have blatantly searched for the right mate to activate them, and left good, honest mates behind because of it. Jared, though, had always been different from his peers. His mother would have called it more mature, but that wasn't really it. He'd just always taken mating seriously, been wrapped up in the idea since he was a small cherub, and he'd had the nervous energy for it since he was old enough to mate. It was only cruel fate that had kept him from finding his right one for so long. It was an even crueler fate that he had been kept from his mate now that he had found him. If the admissions board had let Jensen into the academy when he had first applied, Jared was certain that they would have been mated for years by now. Sure, other Seraph would probably have vied for Jensen's attention, but Jared just knew down inside of him that they were the ones that were meant to be bonded together. That thought held him through his second night without Jensen. The morning brought unpleasant surprises. He felt cold when he rolled out of bed. It was unusual for him, but the drain on his system from his fight with Jensen couldn't be expected to just not bother him. It wasn't until he turned around to see that he'd left several feathers behind that he realized why exactly he felt chilled. His body had decided to skip right past the unbearable itching and nagging sensation that drove him to overpreen and go straight to molting. His beautiful courtship feathers lay in clumps in his sheets, and even as he collected them up, he could feel others letting loose from his wings. He tried to calm himself. When that didn't work, he tried to call Jensen 5 times, but he kept getting the human's voicemail. For a few minutes, he was tempted to leave a voicemail, but there was nothing he could say that wasn't pathetic and needy. Jensen clearly wasn't ready to talk to him yet, and Jared understood enough about humans that a physical appearance would probably be more meaningful than a phone call anyway. Jared was through his balcony door, halfway to its railing, when one of his primary flight feathers fell to the floor. He stared at its dark blue coloring standing in relief against the light gray of the cement that made up his small landing. His mind spun for a while. It wasn't that he couldn't think of all the ramifications of what losing his feathers meant. It was that his mind refused to accept them. It was instinct to fly almost everywhere. Sure, Jared had his driver's license, but he didn't have a mate or children that required that he own a vehicle. He had friends and relatives to help him out whenever he needed to move larger objects that he couldn't carry. Besides, it wasn't like he'd had a strong vocation when he'd been mateless. He was as directionless as any other Seraph would have been without his mate, and he had an almost completed general studies degree at a human university thanks to it. Despite Jensen's intimations to the contrary, Jared was very well aware of the need of money in order to own things. He had his own college tuition loans, and his parents were the ones who funded his apartment, and even gave him the money to nest once he'd called them with the good news. It was nice that his parents had the funds to help him out, but that didn't mean that Jared was irresponsible with their money or wanted to spend it frivolously. As he was in possession of a healthy body, a car was one of the most obvious expenses that he could eliminate while he was searching for a mate. It wasn't as if he was going to find a good-paying job with his generic education, and he wouldn't have been committed to it anyway. It was better to continue searching for a mate than trying to work to make enough money to afford a vehicle he didn't need. Even if Jared discounted the embarrassment of public molting, he needed feathers to fly. If he lost too many of them, he could get stranded. Worse, if he lost the wrong ones while in flight, he could plummet to his death. He would prefer if the next time that Jensen saw him, that he wasn't laid out in his coffin awaiting burial. Jensen. Jensen could not see him like he was. Strangers would be bad enough, but his own mate? Those mating feathers on the floor were Jensen's. They'd grown only for him, and now they weren't even doing Jared the favor of letting him vent his frustrations on his wings by pulling them out. In a corner of his mind, Jared wondered if Jensen would still find the molting behavior fascinating like he had every other piece of Seraph-related information, or if Jensen would spurn such knowledge with the same ire that he'd rebuffed Jared with. It bothered him that he didn't know what Jensen was thinking. He didn't know if Jensen was even thinking at all yet, or if he was still reacting to the pain that Jared's disclosure had brought him. Slowly, Jared had dragged himself back into his apartment. Drawing the drapes behind him after he walked through the sliding glass door, he had plunged the living room into darkness, and he hadn't seen the outside world since. After a few days, his feathers were all over his apartment. It was disorderly and disturbing, but Jared couldn't bring himself to collect them. He just let them stay wherever they landed unless they were in seriously inconvenient places, like the coffee pot or the actual shower. If he were human, he'd call it depression. But he wasn't human, and he knew full well it was Jensen's rejection that was causing his body's physiological symptoms and lethargy. He'd never even heard of a mate so thoroughly refusing his suitor, but Jared figured that a seraph had never bungled up a mating like he had either. The only cure for it would be to go and see Jensen. Jared was already committed. His body wasn't going to move on until one of them was dead. It was just one of those mysterious mating things that happened. Partly blood chemistry, but mostly unexplained, the hormone levels that changed in a seraph during mating ensured their fidelity and strengthened their bond with their mates, but those levels remained strong, even with prolonged distance between them. Somehow they still knew that their mate was out there, and they kept producing the same hormones without any additional contact until their mate died. Jared needed to reconcile with Jensen. The problem was that what little Jared had to induce Jensen to speak to him again was now greatly reduced by his lack of attractive physical appearance. His wings weren't even the pathetic fluffy down of an infant cherub. They were pale, peach skin dotted, with the occasional scraggly feather. His wings looked like horrid slabs of meat without his feathers covering them. Loose skin shifted on them if he flexed, making him look more like something out of a science fiction movie than anything else. It looked like an alien creature was sprouting out of his back. It was hideous and mortifying. Jared felt sick each time he looked. His ego and pride had never been large or overinflated, even though he'd been told often enough that he was a very handsome man, but the loss of his feathers was difficult for him. What would he woo Jensen back with when he had so few possessions and his words were now worth less than nothing? His physical appearance had been the one thing still in his favor. Humans, despite their protests, were still more forgiving of comely people. While Jared knew that Jensen was the type of human who would strive to be above such shallowness, he had harbored some hope that his looks would open a small door to the opportunity of thawing Jensen's heart. He stewed about his situation for days before his phone rang. Sam was on the other end, complaining about how his mate was blackmailing the school. She wasn't exactly happy with Jared's suggestion that she just give Jensen what he asked for, but she caved in easily enough. They both knew that whatever she'd been told by the higher-ups to demand of Jared in the situation wasn't going to happen. Jensen wasn't about to do a damn thing that Jared suggested he do, and Jared was probably the only seraph that would have a chance of talking to him. Once she was on the phone, Sam was difficult to get off the line. The longer that she talked, the more that Jared got the sinking suspicion that her motivation for calling had less to do with Jensen's rather bland demands for good grades and a solid recommendation, and more to do with her interfering in Jared's now dead love life. 3 minutes later, he was stabbing the end call button on his phone with fervor. Jared wasn't the type of guy that hated being right, but Sam drove him to that point. She seemed to think that just talking with Jensen was going to make everything better. Jensen was his mate, she'd reasoned. He'd thaw eventually. There wasn't a single mate that had turned on his seraph in all of the years of the academies, and Jensen wasn't some special exception. And really, did she think that Jared was stupid? As much as he didn't like her messing in his business, her call did make Jared aware of two things. The first was that Jensen was moving on with his life, and if Jared wanted him back, he had best initiate contact again before his mate got too good at moving on. The second was that there was no way on earth that Jared knew that could bridge the gap between his mate and himself. Jensen was human and thought like a human. Sam was a seraph, and even though she meant well, Jared could hear the undertones that said she thought that Jared should be able to simply woo Jensen back with their bond, without any real effort. Jared's wings begged to differ. Jared's intellect and everything he'd learned about Jensen and humans begged to differ. But just because Jared didn't know how to get Jensen to talk to him, that didn't mean that nobody did.